I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe it, looking outside and seeing the glorious sunshine and the early signs of spring, but the news around the world at the moment is grim and very unsettling. At least I find it so. Whether it's the pandemic that doesn't seem to cease, or climate change, the tragedy unfolding in Afghanistan, our own continued lockdown, what's happening in New South Wales, it's an immensely worrying time on different levels for different people. Sometimes it's hard to know what to do or what to say, other than to pray, to reach out, to do what we can with what we've got in helping others. I hope this service and small reflection on the Gospel of John encourages us all to find strength in Jesus. Our lectionary, that is, the three-year cycle of scripture readings, has a year each devoted to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And to ensure that the Gospel of John is included, a few weeks of the year over 3 years are set aside for the church to reflect and explore our patron saint's narrative of Jesus. Well, over the last few weeks, you may recall the readings from John zero in on chapter 6, which is all about bread. Chapter 6, if you recall, opens with Jesus miraculously feeding enormous crowds. It's interesting that first and foremost, Jesus literally feeds a hungry crowd, a crowd with empty stomachs. He's not interested in their theology or where they've come from or if they get who he is, but that they're following him, they're hungry, and they need food. But strangely, shortly after they've actually been part of this miraculous feeding and in fact have seen some of his miraculous healings, some of the crowd begin to ask Jesus for signs to prove that he is at least a prophet sent by God. And what do they have to do to earn it? To which Jesus says, trust. Trust in me. In the course of the dialogue that ensues, Jesus keeps stressing that he's not talking only about literal food which he had just fed them with, or such as was provided by God to their ancestor Moses and his people, but bread that gives eternal life, far beyond a full stomach. And in response to this, the people say to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Well, Jesus certainly tells them that they are seeking only food for their stomachs, but he is promising eternal life. "Sir, give us this bread always," they say. To which Jesus dramatically replies, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty." This bread isn't in some distant past with Moses, but in the here and now standing in front of you. "I am the bread of life, the true bread. I am the author of life." Well, it's a bold, audacious claim, and he's making this claim inside a synagogue. And you can see why those nearby him begin to grumble and argue among themselves. Surely this Galilean is stretching it a lot. And I get that. There is someone they know standing in front of them saying, "I am the bread of life." But as Jesus is wont to do, he doesn't back away. He moves, and in this particular chapter, he moves deeper and deeper into his true identity. And his listeners become more and more shocked and confused. The reading we have today is where Jesus says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life." Now, by any standards, then or now, this is confronting and deeply unsettling. And for Jesus' audience, it's very offensive. Why? Because Jewish laws in the book of Leviticus and elsewhere expressly prohibit the drinking of blood, understandably. And Jesus' words are probably worsened by the fact that he is now speaking to them inside a synagogue. Jesus knows that his listeners are offended. Some followers simply say, "This is very hard to understand," and they turn away from him and leave him. Well, what's going on? What's going on? Because Jesus isn't trying to gross out his listeners or deliberately drive them away. Dorothy Lee, who's a professor at Trinity College Theological School here in Melbourne and a world scholar on John, points out that Jesus is inviting all to believe in him and to live in him and allow him to live in those who believe in him. Jesus talks about abiding, the word abiding. And Lee says abiding is explicitly relational. It's the mutuality of life which flows between Jesus and his disciples, and a life that originates with the Father, with God. Abiding is relational. It's not Jesus talking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, is not to gross out his listeners at all, but to invite all into this abiding relationship. One way Christians express this belief in Jesus is through the Eucharist, through communion, which, of course, many people miss a great deal through lockdown when we can't celebrate the Eucharist and come together around the table. The Eucharist is a tangible act between Jesus and believers, a tangible act of love and friendship. Partaking in the Eucharist, though, and entering into this relationship isn't a passive act. The Eucharist should unsettle us. Jesus' death on a Roman cross is shocking. Partaking in the Eucharist is an act of solidarity with Christ's suffering, and it's an act of solidarity with our neighbour, especially the voiceless and the poor and the dispossessed, with whom Jesus most aligned himself. This pandemic is hard for the most cushioned of us, those of us who have a house and food, some income, some resources to cope with COVID fatigue, uncertainty or anxiety. As this pandemic grinds on, many don't have enough income or are isolated. And what's happening in Myanmar and Indonesia and millions of our sisters and brothers around the world is almost unthinkable, where many can't protect themselves or access the most basic, potentially life-saving equipment. They're not faceless numbers, but the flesh and blood of families who struggle to keep their loved ones alive. Behind this is a tyranny of injustice that Christ addressed on earth and in his death. I've been recommended a book written by Pope Francis, which I have read in recent days. It's called Our Father, Reflections on the Lord's Prayer. It's a lovely, wise little book, and I recommend it to you. In one chapter, Francis explores Jesus' words, "Give us this day our daily bread." He describes the kingdom of God as always a celebration where we are at table with God and each other. And at this table, all are welcome and all are fed with spiritual food. This is the ultimate in hospitality, to welcome absolutely anyone to the Lord's table. But in addition, Francis says that those who are able are called to literally extend this hospitality by feeding others and helping others. In this lockdown, we can't celebrate the Eucharist here at church as we would like. But our hospitality can reach out into the community here and through agencies working around the world. Pope Francis describes a childhood memory where if a piece of bread fell to the floor, they were to quickly pick it up and kiss it and never throw it away. Because bread is, he says, a symbol of the unity of humanity. In recent days, Food for Friends, the joint effort of St John's here at Toorak with St Peter's Catholic Church and the Uniting Church, contributed food and toiletries and sanitary items to Christchurch Missions Community Centre in St Kilda. You'll find some information about this on our Facebook page. In July alone, 334 packages were given out and distributed. That's a wonderful effort. I teach refugee women on Monday mornings, and each lockdown becomes a frantic search for enough food for some of them and resources for themselves and their families. The poorly paid jobs that they have suddenly stop and there's no money. Food for Friends and other organisations are feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty. Peter and I are also concerned for you too. If you need anything at all, if anyone is struggling, especially to buy the basics of groceries, we can help. If we can support you in any way, practically or spiritually, please reach out. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," several things come to mind. One, we hear not a theological discourse, but the voice of love. The voice of love that says, all are invited into an intimate, abiding relationship with me. Trust me. Believe in me. Two, in the supreme act of self-emptying love, Jesus literally gives his flesh and blood. And in the Eucharist, we share with Christ this moment, which is both unsettling and life-giving. Finally, if we abide in Christ and he in us, we too are called to acts of self-emptying love, giving food to those without food and giving drink to those without drink. This coming week, may you feel the strength of Christ, the giver of all good things, abiding in you. And may you and your loved ones keep safe and well. All of our blessings to you and all whom you love. Amen.